Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Wow, thank you so much for your support. This is ending like my fourth year doing this podcast and just shy of 500,000 downloads right now. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all your support. I hope you have enjoyed the shows. They've been helpful, whether it was arts or politics. Thank you so much for your support. Today, wow, he's been on here a couple times, and why? Because he's just like a wealth of knowledge, not just about astrology, but like politics and history and, you know, geography, all kinds of stuff. He's just like Wikipedia, a walking Wikipedia type of thing. But his name is Samuel Reynolds, and he's a renowned astrologer. He's based in New York City. And I want to say thank you so much, Sam, for coming on today. This is the fourth time I think you've been on.
Wow, thank you. And I didn't realize that you had been on for, did you just say 5 years or 4 years?
4 years. 4 years.
4 years. Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. It flew by like poof, and I wasn't planning on it, but here we are.
I remember, I think I was on maybe in the first few months of you kind of kicking this off. Is that right, or am I remembering incorrectly?
Wow, 2009, I think, I can't remember. I have to look back.
Yeah, I think I was among your early guests, but congratulations.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have you back because you are such a wealth of knowledge. But let's just,
thank
for
you.
People who are not familiar with you, let's just talk a little bit about how you got into astrology, because you didn't start out like that. It wasn't like this lifelong journey. You were very religious. As a matter of fact, you were a preacher at one point, a child preacher, and you also have a master's degree in something not astrology. So how astrology start?
Well, just to give the Cliff Notes version, or like even the Wikipedia version, I went into the ministry, the Christian ministry, when I was 12 years old on my mom's birthday, and I was in it for 7 years, but increasingly became disillusioned with the church, and then eventually Christianity, and then eventually even the concept of God. So I ended up in academia, pursuing my master's and PhD in African American Studies at Temple, and I became disillusioned with that as well, and was searching. And I went to find a book dealing with metaphysics, and found a bookshop in North Philly, Kofi's bookstore, and went in there and met Kofi, and he talked to me about astrology, and I was completely skeptical of astrology. Mm. I mean, I had always hated astrology up until that point.
Wow.
For
you
many
hated
reasons.
You didn't say this like
No.
Didn't
I didn't say
it.
I was tolerant of most other forms of metaphysics. Like I could give some credence to tarot or whatever, but it was astrology that really bothered me the most. And he volunteered to give me a reading, and for the first 15 minutes of the reading, I thought it was complete BS because, you know, he was saying things that I thought he could get from a cold reading of just observing me. But
right,
then he started
right.
talking about my family dynamics, in-depth, detailed stuff about relationship between my brother, my father, my mother, and I was blown away. But I thought it was a trick. So I spent the next 10 years attempting to figure out what was his trick, reading books, doing charts. You know, I just wasn't one of those skeptics who dismissed it out of hand without doing the research, because I was an academic, so I felt compelled to have to really do live
research.
And so after 10 years, I realized that I believed in astrology and started practicing myself, and this is how I've come to be where I am now.
And now you have some different certifications, a level, I don't know, are you a level 4 now or are you a level 3?
I'm level 3, and I'm thinking of taking level 4, more than thinking, I think probably in 2013 I will. There's 4 levels of certifications with a nationally recognized organization of astrologers called NCGR, National Council for Geocosmic Research. There are other organizations such like that one, but I actually decided to pursue level 4 certification with them You can practice astrology without certification from them or other organizations, but I'm happy to have gone through their process because it's pretty rigorous, and also
mm-hmm.
it's good to be able to connect with other astrologers and they be able to recommend you for, you know, different things from counseling sessions to teaching.
Now, you also have a Zodiac Lounge. Talk to us
yes.
about that.
The Zodiac Lounge is happening tonight. If you're in New York City, we actually have been meeting in Bed-Stuy for, I guess, the last 8 months. And what we do is we bring together different healers and seers. We have Thai yoga massage. We're going to have yoga for the first time tonight. We're going to
wow.
have astrologers, readers, tarot card readers. And it's $5 to get in, but to get a reading, you can get a reading for about $1 a minute, which is, I think, really affordable for most people. So in 10 minutes, you can get answers to some of the questions that have been burdening you maybe for even a year, or some things you're concerned about for the new year. Or if you just want a
mm-hmm.
massage, you can get that.
Okay, and what's the address?
So the address is 375 Stuyvesant Avenue in Bed-Stuy, and it's right at the corner of Decatur and Stuyvesant for people who want to come out tonight.
And what time is that?
And it starts at 6 and it goes until 10 p.m. And it's $5 at the door. And again, it's 375 Stuyvesant at the Freebrook School. And if people want to check out the website or more information, they can go to DECZL, that's DESZL for the December Zodiac Lounge, .eventbrite.com.
Awesome. And you'd have that like once a month, though, correct?
Yes, ma'am. I haven't.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate to have it for the last 2 years, even though the Zodiac Lounge has been around off and on since 2005.
Wow. Well, it sounds like a great event. So everybody, if you are in New York in the area or you can get to Bed-Stuy, check it out. Lots of things going on there. So let's get into this astrology. Now, how many signs are there?
There are 12 signs in the Western Zodiac and most Zodiacs. There are only 12. I know some people were concerned last year about the inclusion of possibly a new sign, Ophiuchus. But Ophiuchus is not considered part of the Zodiac. And astronomers who have many times an antagonistic relationship with astrologers often want to introduce things into the mix that they know that we know is not necessary. So astronomers, it's just kind of their antics to kind of goad
okay.
at their parents. Because we astrologers do consider ourselves as the parental authority for astronomy. There would be no astronomy if there had been no astrology.
Now, how did astrology start? Like, how far back in history were people engaged in astrology? Do you know about that?
On some level, we will never know, because astrology mm-hmm. goes back to the first time human beings started looking at the sky. And most cultures around the world have developed some form of an astrology. But most times, people trace it back to a few places, and they kind of vibed off of each other. Among the places, we kind of go back to our Sumeria, Babylonia, to Kemet or Egypt in Africa, and another place that came much later, and that's recognized as later, but it's still important in the development of astrology, is Greece. So the idea of a horoscopic astrology, as we practice now, was refined in Greece. That was not something that was practiced the same way in Mesopotamia and Sumeria or in Egypt.
Is there a conflict if I'm Christian or Muslim or Jewish and then I'm interested in trying to listen to or get advice from an astrologer?
No. However, I can understand why some might think that. Let's start off with why they may think that. Some think it's from the devil. Some
mm-hmm.
think it's kind of the province of jinn. And some are concerned with it kind of attempting to trump the will of God, Allah, or, you know, Elohim. The real truth of the matter is nothing can trump the will of Allah, Elohim, or God, or however you want to designate the divine being. What astrology does is it uses signs that we see manifest in the heavens as a way of understanding things on earth. So if astrology is by definition wrong, so were the Magi who sought Christ and used the star in order to find him. Or Moses, by looking at the sky, holding itself in the sky for an extended period of time, using that as a sign of God's beneficence. So we often use different things that happen in the sky as markers for understanding what happens on earth. So that's the key thing to keep in mind. The next stage of that, though, is if someone becomes more reliant on astrology than their own faith or reason, then I think that can go into dangerous territory where they're more challenged in their faith and more challenged in the direction that I would think their God would want them to go, or the God, however you want to look at it.
Right. Well, let's talk about some relationships. We talked about relationships between you, astrologers and astronomers, and between religion and astrology. Let's talk about some people relationships in 2012 that have really impacted America. We talked right before we got on air about the relationship between Joe Biden and Obama. Now, I read that Joe Biden is born November 20th. Is that a Sagittarius?
No, he's a Scorpio.
He's a Scorpio. Mm-hmm. And then Obama is August 4th. What does that make him?
He's a Leo.
He's a Leo. So was that a match made in heaven, or is there a lot of conflict there? Because, I mean, no, because like Joe Biden, I know he came out about the gay support, gay marriage or equality marriage before Obama, and it seemed like Obama didn't want him to. It seems like Joe is like the attack dog, and Obama is like kind of trying to hold a leash. What's the view from an astrological view?
Well, first of all, let me just say, let's go back a second and say that the real in-depth aspects of astrology are not about the sun signs per se. So what we were just talking about are the sun signs when someone is born according to the month by which they're born. So we know that Joe Biden's a Scorpio. We know that Barack Obama is a Leo. But what we don't know is how those moon signs and the rising sign, which are also important understanding how those two could work together. So we know that Barack Obama is a moon in Gemini with Aquarius rising. And the rising sign just literally means what sign was coming above the horizon when he was born. The moon is actually for that specific day. So you can think of it as the second hand of a clock. And the sun sign being the first hand, the primary hand of a clock.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of how those two blend together, President Obama generally doesn't like to get his hands dirty. He likes to be like the sun and shine. That's where he kind of has his strength. Whereas Joe Biden, who also has a testy Sagittarius rising, he doesn't mind getting dirty in the trenches. And so he is kind of like this attack dog. So what happens in their dynamic often is that he is usually the John the Baptist to Obama's messianic meme. He actually will go forward with particular things before Obama does.
Yeah.
So it's not just like a leash. They actually sometimes, I think, work in tandem and tackling particular issues. And one other thing is that Joe Biden, notoriously as a Sagittarius rising, will speak off the cuff. He just speaks what's on his mind in that moment. He's far better at dealing with things in the moment than Obama in that sense. Obama, with the Aquarius rising and that moon in Gemini, he likes to chew on things and think about things and think them through thoroughly. Whereas the Sagittarius in Joe Biden really likes to shoot forward, but he always does it with a strong measure of passion, and that comes from his Scorpio side.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely you saw that in the debates. Now let's talk about another big incident that happened this year was Lance Armstrong. Lance Armstrong was born September 18th. He's a Virgo. Is that a Virgo?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. He's a Virgo.
Yeah, and so Virgos, I've heard many things. My mom is a Virgo. I didn't get along with my mom when I was earlier, but now as an adult we get along. I'm a Pisces. And I have another best friend who's Virgo. But in terms of Virgo persona, Lance being just like relentless in his, if you want to say, obsession with getting these awards and his athleticism, is that a Virgo trait, going above and beyond? Tell us a little bit about Virgos and how,
so
how that
affects
Lance.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. What's particularly acute for Lance is that he's a double Virgo. We don't know his exact time
double
of birth.
Double Virgo?
Yes.
What's a double Virgo? Wow.
Yeah. We don't know his particular time of birth, so we don't know his rising sign. But in terms of his sun and moon sign, they're both Virgo. So he actually is far more interested in efficiency and kind of having peak and best performances, which is what Virgo is really about, having a performance or a level of capability that matches their sense of, I won't say perfection, but of efficiency, of doing the maximum. And by virtue of that, they can get too caught up in their work ethic and work dynamic. So they lose perspective of how that shapes other parts of their lives. There's, I meant to look him up before I got on, but there was a porn star around the same time who was in Hollywood, and he had tested positively for an STD, but he decided to keep on working. So, and by virtue of that, he also infected some people and gave Hollywood, the Hollywood porn industry, quite a scare. So he was a Virgo. We saw also Michael Jackson, a Virgo, pretty much work himself to his death by attempting to keep up a level of performance and ability that was unnatural. So, I mean,
but now,
he wasn't taking high performance.
Now, you talk about Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
We're not, with Michael Jackson's example, we're not talking about, you know, doping one's blood, but we're talking about how he was attempting to find some measure of rest in order to kind of reach a certain level of energy that he needed to be quote-unquote Michael Jackson.
Right.
So he was
right.
relentless in his work.
Now,
so the same thing happened with Lance.
That's the fall? Right, the fall. I mean, the fall happens. But, I mean, are there other Virgos that we can think of in, you know, politics or industry that are not, that maybe have some kind of balance?
Well, yeah.
How
I mean,
balance?
I'm one of the more successful Virgos that we know in terms of being able to have that measure of balance is Beyonce. In fact, you also can talk about all the dream girls. I mean, among the dream girls, literally, we have all three of them are Virgos: Jennifer Hudson, Anika Noni Rose, and Beyonce.
Wow. And they were able to get along. So Virgos get along with Virgos and the work relationship?
Well, yeah, I mean, generally. I mean, I think I have found of all the signs in terms of, like, work capacities, I'm not just talking about, quote-unquote, relationships, I find that Leos seem to give a little more rope to other Leos. And I say rope, they kind of can be fawning sometimes of each other, like Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, as example. They're both Leos. But, yeah, generally, you know, signs can find compatibility and strong compatibility, and those three did get along, to my understanding, fairly well.
Let's talk about relationships. We just brought that up. But let's talk about love relationships. People are always, not always, but many times when people think about astrology, like, oh, is this the right person? Or I know I've heard, seen you tweeting about people calling you, contacting you. Is he cheating on me? Can you look up so-and-so, this, that, and other? Can you name the top three best combos for love relationships?
No.
Or are is there? No, you can't. And why
I
is
can't.
That?
And because
of different risings and stuff?
Right. I mean, the real combinations in astrology, you know, between two individuals, we can always talk about between signs. And that's one thing I always make a distinction for people. You actually have all 12 signs of the zodiac within you, and they're just in different emphases and different combinations. So you have a unique cocktail that's specific to you based on the time of your birth. And if you start talking about general cocktails, like being a Pisces or being a Virgo or a Scorpio, what will happen is that you may miss some key elements of your unique blend that could be shaped by a connection with someone else who also is a unique blend. So we could talk about sign combos until we're blue in the face and say, yes, Aries can get along fairly well with Sagittarians because they're both fire, but that may have nothing to do with you specifically. So that's why So that's why I always make qualifications with people when they call or they write me and say, oh, well, I'm an Aries and I seem to draw Capricorn men, but this kind of happens with them. Should I just stay away from Capricorns? No, there's probably some other elements in your chart that you're having trouble making room for in your own personal psyche.
Now, somebody on the Facebook page asked me about parent-child relationships and how signs affect that. Now, I'm a Pisces. My daughter was an Aries. I feel she's very stubborn. She probably feels I'm stubborn.
But
right now, in general, we get along very well. But, you know, when she was younger, typical, you know, teenage drama stuff, nothing unusual. Are you aware of any other parent-child signs that maybe clash a lot? And again, this is a generalized statement based on what you just said.
Right. Yeah. There are. And, you know, sometimes the hardest relationships, I will say, if we wanted to stick to generalizations, are the ones that are right next to each other.
Mm.
Pisces, Aries, Scorpio, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Leo. I'm just throwing the ones just as illustrations. Leo, Virgo. The ones that are next to each other, it's like you kind of get them, but at the same time, you don't. So it's especially important.
They annoy you, maybe?
They annoy you, or somehow there's also kind of a certain fear, especially like, let's say, with a Pisces Aries. You know, the Aries has moved farther into the year than where you were as a Pisces. So on some visceral level, that's kind of more into the spiritual, your child has gone beyond you.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's some aspect in the ways in which she operates in the world that are completely unfamiliar to you. And so you're kind of dealing like, well, why would you do that? You know, why don't you just
right.
ask to do something? Why are you just going to start off and just run off and do something? Well, that's because as an Aries, that's kind of what their task is from a deep soul point of view, because that's what it represents in the year. You know, kind of the resurgence, the restart of the year. You are kind of Pisces, that is, you're closing the year, the astrological year. And by virtue of that, you're kind of thinking about everything. Aries is not charged with that task to think about everything. They're charged with thinking about moving ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's often challenging. So, like, as an example with me, I'm also a Mars child. I'm a Scorpio. So I believed in the supremacy of my will. When I say that, I mean, like, if I saw a kid with a toy, I would just reach and get the toy. I had Libra parents.
Okay.
And I had a mom with a sun and moon in Libra, and a dad with a moon in Libra, but an Aquarian. So they often reasoned with me and would ask me, like, why did you do such and such? And it got me to think more contemplatively about how I did things
mm-hmm.
and why I did things a particular way. So,
let's talk about another.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go on. What were we going to ask him?
No, I just wanted to move to another person that's in the news right now, Nelson Mandela. He's in the hospital. He's a great figure in history. He's cancer, I believe, July 18th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have his chart. Now, he's a cancer with a moon in Scorpio and Sag rising. Mm-hmm.
Now, is that for his sign being a cancer? Cancers are sensitive, yes? I mean, male cancers I know, but he seems to be this great leader. Are there a lot of great leaders that happen to be cancer? Or leadership in general, what sign would you say is a leadership sign? Is there a leadership sign?
There's no one leadership sign. There are signs that have a greater propensity for being in leadership positions.
Mm-hmm.
And he would qualify as having a few of them. So there are four quote-unquote cardinal signs, Capricorn, Cancer, Libra, and Aries. Those are the signs that kick off seasons, and then the other signs maintain them. But I have found that there are often Scorpios or Scorpio-influenced people who are interested in power. And when I say power, it doesn't mean just kind of, you know, being the dark lords of power as much as challenging power and also very interested in power dynamics. So I don't think it's any accident, for instance, that our last two secretaries of state have both been Scorpios, that the greatest number of presidents have either been Scorpios or Aquarians. So it's interesting with Nelson Mandela being a Cancer that the planet that's responsible for Cancer, the moon, is in Scorpio. So he is someone who would have been well-marked to be very invested, very interested in understanding power dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a Sagittarius, he's interested in, you know, Sagittarius rising. That's what's coming above the horizon. He's very much interested in freedom and how we express those particular things. Nelson Mandela actually has lived long enough to do something that is quite profound. So he actually now is in what we call a Pluto opposition, meaning that his Pluto is, when he was born, is in the opposite place right now in the sky. So this is a time where he kind of can deal with encouraging people to have a deeper sense of purpose and to renew their original sense of purpose beyond the pain, beyond just their desires. So he may have a little more work to do among us, but, you know, the Pluto opposition is fairly rare for many people to have lived to see.
Wow. Well, let's talk about you a little bit more. You're on Twitter. And
yes, ma'am.
And your hook on Twitter. Tell them your hook on Twitter.
It's S, as in Fred, Reynolds. So it's SF Reynolds, all one word.
And you have a website, returntothesource.net,
yes,
correct?
.net, or they can use returntothesource.com. Both of them work. I bought both of them, so we wouldn't have any discrepancies. yeah, so
and
you
what's,
can,
what's a phone number? Is there a phone number if somebody
yes,
wanted
ma'am.
To reach
so
out to
you? Yes, ma'am.
So
the number at which to reach me is 484-727-8277.
And let's just talk a little bit again about the Zodiac Lounge. That's tonight in Bed-Stuy. Just
yes.
give them the information about the time and location again.
So it's 6 to 10 p.m. tonight, and the location is 375 Stuyvesant Avenue, and that's going to be at the corner of Decatur and Stuyvesant in Bed-Stuy. For people who are in the city and are familiar with the trains, you can take the A train to Utica. In Brooklyn.
A train to Utica. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Is it what they walk mm-hmm. from there? Is it a couple
yes.
blocks from there?
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Well, Sam, this has been great. I mean, you're always a wealth of information. I encourage everybody to follow him. He has hilarious commentary about things going on in the news, around the globe. Do not try to challenge him, because if he doesn't know it, he will look into it, as he said, research it, and get back to you, and you better be ready.
Thank you.
But thank you again for ending the year 2012, and hopefully we'll be here in 2013.
Yes.
And
yeah, I don't believe in a Mayan prophecy. I don't think anything.
You don't believe in that?
Yeah,
well,
I don't
know,
think anything
funny.
Special is going to happen on the 21st, except
okay, but let me put it this way. If it does, we won't be here. Like, okay,
right.
Like, so what? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well,
I don't know. I don't feel like I need to go protest about it. If it happens, okay, I'm done. And I feel pretty confident about what I've done in my life. I'm not going to feel any regrets at this moment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right, yeah, it's true.
But anyway, well, thank you so much, Sam, for coming on. You have a wonderful weekend and a great Zodiac Lounge tonight.
And thank you, and congratulations to you. I mean, really.
Oh, thank you.
You've been keeping this up. There are very few people who are able to maintain such a high-profile blog talk post as you do. So this is great.
Thank you so much, Sam. I appreciate that. You have a great day, okay?
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with astrologer Samuel Reynolds. You can follow him on twitter.com/SFReynolds. Also, check out his website, returntothesource.net or .com. Wonderful, wonderful individual, a wealth of knowledge, and he will go deeper than just the signs, quote-unquote. He can do a very extensive chart for you. He did one for me. It was almost like 10 or 12 pages long. So this is not a surface dealing with him. I thank you again for your support, close to 500,000 downloads of the show. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is saturdayswithjoykeys@hotmail.com. I encourage you to follow every day until the end of the year. I think I'll be giving things away. I've given away books and iTunes gift cards, Bath & Body Works, Home Depot. So I encourage you to follow @joykeys and become a fan on Facebook. You have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much for listening.